Biographies always make me cringe. It's lovely to be here. It's not quite my first trip to Ireland, but nearly. As we've had such good weather, I'm hoping I will get away with starting with the poem that I'm going to start with. We've had a lovely spring this year, but that's not always been the case. There have been some springs where it's been almost more like nature's been out to get revenge. Deluge. Flowers, tip-tap, glockenspiel petals on my windows. A soft yet insistent plea to come in. Soon they start creeping under doors, carpet of tulips, daffs and primulas. Outside, birds sip from giant mud bowls. Watch as my garden migrates to the warmth inside. Wallpaper swirls with leaves and broken stems. This living room no longer mine, but nature's. With armchair flowerbeds, plant pot cushions, and a sofa paisleyed in cabbage and peas. I used to work as a journalist, I don't anymore, but some of my poems have been inspired by stories in the papers and people I've talked to while I was working as a journalist. The next one is actually fictional, but was inspired by a genuine true life account from someone who'd survived an amazing number of natural disasters, whether that be blessing or luck. Unsubmerged. In Dominica, an earthquake cracked Roger's home like a walnut. His wife's omelette pan skipped off the stove. Their bed hopped the floor. Chairs pirouetted into shaking walls. But, cotted snug in a box for their breakfast, half a dozen eggs, unbroken. Visiting his mother in Granada, a hurricane peeled her house like an orange. Winds that ruse turned tamarind trees into mops, uprooted nutmeg plantations. But left the glass of his daughter's portrait, a smooth, unrippled ocean. Half submerged in New Orleans, Roger's shoes walked in pairs on water. Tables arced, chairs waded out the doors, and dead rats trailed the apartment stairs. While his daughter's dress hung freshly pressed on her bedroom door, dry and pink with flowers. Thank you. One of the people that I once interviewed was a carer for someone with Alzheimer's. I don't know if anyone here has had to care for anyone with Alzheimer's. It's becoming more and more common. It was quite a moving story. Russian doll. She always liked organising Christmas, birthdays, the children's toys. He used to sit and watch, admiring the way she never forgot a thing. All neatly packed up and labelled in indelible ink. For a rainy day, she used to say. He didn't expect her brain to file her memories into drawers, then throw away the keys. The top drawer was the first to go. The one where she stored yesterday's walk in the park, and the cardigan he bought for her birthday that week. Then other things began to slip away. Their grandson's birth, that holiday to Greece, their wedding day. Doctors say the bottom drawer will be the last to go. The one where she is again a little girl. His face, a stranger's, in her house. where he sits and watches time remove layer after layer of Russian dolls. Slightly more light-hearted one. I'm assuming probably everyone here, if they're not on the internet, is at least using the internet. It seems to have crept up on us quite fast. And Twitter and Facebook, the delights of sometimes. The interesting followers too. Missing mantra. The Dalai Lama is following my husband. We know it's true, because Twitter told us so. It's not often one gets an email like that. Take note. We've made the new message sound our mantra. Listen to it tick-tock time in the office. Chant lullabies into my sleep. While my husband sits up in the dark, polishing his grit of wisdom, in the hope you'll create a pearl. Now, obviously, when I'm coming to a reading, I spend quite a bit of time thinking about what poems to read. I have another dilemma, which some people may be able to identify with, which is what to wear. Now, I have great friends, and they always have lots of great advice. Some of it's more helpful, and some of it less helpful. Wear a cactus ball gown. This dress should be kept for those prickly occasions when you sense dryness and wish to make a point. Take care. Such sun-sanded satin is not easily removed once you grow into its green sheen. Do not plan on letting anyone close. They will only get hurt. These flowers are not for picking. Instead, strengthen your spine. Prepare for the pain of being justly deserted. Above all, beware of the needles when you undress alone. They will make your skin bleed. I'm going to read a few from my new collection. This was the university portfolio. Only my tutors didn't like it, but my publisher did. So I'm going to start with one, which is kind of a love poem. I say kind of because a lot of the poems I write are kind of something but kind of something else. Also the wonders of the world and how people and things shape us. Unfolding. He passes her the world's largest moth, the Atticus Atlas. Continents spanned in its wings, their mappings laid bare. The wonder of paper shapes in his grasp, that first origami. All the folded light since, dexterous hands revealed hummingbirds, lilies, snakes' heads. So many years from this here now, he spins his glow, pinpoints origins, then unstrings her spine again, twists loose bones, plies skin to feathers, strips flitting thoughts. His fingers coax her, past the white of duckling to swan, beyond the patterns of flight. Thank you. And what often, sometimes, unfortunately, comes after a love poem, the broken heart poem. Betrayal. An empty can grows two wrinkles in the train window, poised open-winged in a parallel world. There too, the gaps left by a metal tongue pushed down. Into this thin silver darkness, dried flesh, taste of stale fizz, tide-marked lips. That waking to the red of a known mouth, to find another's echo has crawled in, embedded its forked hiss in to numbed silence. Thirsty work. Very short one. Sometimes it goes right. I have two children. Unfortunately, before the joyful bit of two children, there is a slightly more painful bit. But anyway, I tried to reimagine it as slightly more pleasant than it was. Childbirth. When the sky splits, he catches her red-handed. Nails night-stained, post-storm taste on her breath. Streaks of pink, violent in her hair. He blunts the morning's pointed star. Fingertips needle, twig stitch, torn patches. As bloom bruises, he shoulders the horizon, wears her skin in his branches. I don't actually tend to write about my children very much, which is kind of ironic, seeing as the next poem's actually about my sons as well. If my elder son knew about this, he probably wouldn't be too happy, however. Coffee break. Sun strikes the swimming pool through almost closed blinds. A lightning bolt. Purple-blue ribbons diffuse in slow kite tails from a blackberry tea bag. Flutter-fingered, my son drops an unopened sachet of sugar into his cappuccino froth. He asks me to part a spoon, a milk moustache on his lip, his voice breaking. Okay, I'm just going to do one more to finish then. Having children has made me think differently about the landscape and history in a way that I've never thought about it before. Where I come from, in the Midlands, there's quite a lot of mining, a big mining tradition, or was quite a lot of mining, I should say, and I find that the stories that geology and the fossils and even the coal seams themselves, having once been plant life, have to tell quite fascinating. And the coal seams in this poem are real coal seams in the Lancashire area. Composition. I lay on the forest floor to sleep. Friends made me a pillow, a warm, swamping cover. My peat bed hardened. Voices seeped my deep, cold dreams. Kershaw, Lower Yard, King. China, pasture. Bang. Shaken awake to dark rock, muffled shouts, bells, that sulphur smell. I felt myself fall, then jolt, judder jolt, a cramped jerk, lurched upwards. Pasture, China King, Lower Yard, Kershaw. The vibrations stopped. A hammer crack. My iron bed split. Birdsong rushed in. This fossil tail slipped out. Strangers read the fern seeds in their palm. Thank you.